Edena, following the different presentations, Bhagavantam, the Supreme Lord, Upasate, they worship. Translation and purported by humble disciple Sri Srila Prabhupada. Translation: there are still others who worship you, the Supreme Lord, in the form of Lord Shiva. They follow the path described by him and interpreted in various ways by many teachers. Purport: the words tam eva, you also, indicate that the path of worshipping Lord Shiva is indirect and therefore inferior. Akrura himself is following the superior method by directly worshipping Krishna or Vishnu with his prayers. Hare Krishna. So with the blessings of assembled Vaishnavas, we have to speak something on this particular verse. This is about Lord Shiva. I remember once in some 2 years back in Mayapur, it was Shivaratri day, and the Chinese devotees invited Radhana Swami to speak to them. So Maharaj went to address them, and the very first line he spoke was, he said, Lord Shiva is from China. And all the Chinese devotees were very excited, you know. And he said, of course, the Kailas is in Tibet, which is now a part of China. So therefore, Lord Shiva is from China. So they became very excited to hear about Lord Shiva. I could see that how the devotees have a natural and a very, you know, sublime love for Lord Shiva. And they glorify him in very true sense. Whereas in this verse, it is explained how the Saivites, the follower of Shiva, only Shiva followers, they worship Shiva. And Akrura is explaining that that worship that they do to Shiva is actually to you. So, in these very beautiful verses, Akrurji actually explaining the different process of worship that goes on in this material world. And how worship of Lord Krishna is very rare. And in true sense, nobody can actually grasp the significance and the supreme exclusivity that associated with worshipping Krishna. Sometimes I feel, therefore, well, although we are devotees, sometimes we are not able to take Krishna as seriously as the Saivites take as seriously as Shiva. Because they worship really with lot of awe and reverence Lord Shiva. But because it is very rare to know how to worship Krishna, it's very rare to find such worship. So therefore, the great devotees like Shripada Madhavendra Puri, today is his auspicious disappearance day, and they come and actually exhibit, and Akrura himself, through his prayers, they are exhibiting how rare and how beautiful the worship of Krishna is. If we just, you know, go back a little bit, then we understand how Akrura was sent by Kamsa to invite Krishna and Balaram to Mathura. So Akrura is like he was like somebody who is serving a boss, who is like materialistic. You know, nowadays people work in Bombay, they have different bosses, and they always ask how to serve Krishna. We are working in a company and places like that. How is it possible? But here we see Akrura, by his example, he is explaining how he was working with Kamsa, but he loved Krishna. And you know, like Vibhishan serving Ravana, but actually loved Ram. But in that case, Vibhishan actually very boldly spoke to Ravana that, you know, because the need was there like that. He said, just return Sita like that. But in case of Akrura, he actually loved Krishna very secretly. He didn't expose it at all. So in this world, while working in different way and capacities, we can see it is very much possible to love Krishna, despite whatever the external situation may be. And devotees should follow that path. But for example, for brahmacharis, one may say we are not working outside. But then like Ravana is lust personified. Similarly, we have six bosses, you know, lust, greed, envy. These are all bosses. They demand service. But then despite all these pressures, we can still love Krishna. Somehow, you know, secretly. So this Akrura exemplifies by his life. And but he served Kamsa so perfectly, and of all the people Kamsa had around himself, those his well-wishers, those who, you know, promoted him to kill Krishna and things like that, he actually believed Akrura. Probably he never disclosed that he actually loves Krishna. But he had full faith. He had so much faith in Akrura that he told his entire plan that we'll invite Krishna and Balaram and we'll actually destroy them here in Mathura. That was his plan. He told everything to Akrura. You go and get them. And he knew it is only these two people who can actually invite Krishna and Balaram and they will come. This Akrura can only invite. Nobody else. All of his associates, they can only go and try to harm Krishna, but they cannot lovingly invite Krishna. So having that faith, he sends him. And of course, we have seen all these beautiful chapters. It's like Yatra to Vrindavan. One can meditate how Akrura was going, you know, he was loving Krishna so much. Now he's got a chance to go and see Krishna in Vrindavan. So all these emotions, ecstasies was going through. He was rolling on the dust of Vrindavan and expecting to see Krishna. And finally meets. Then he tells everything whatever Kamsa told to Krishna. He tells his all, you know, horrible plans to kill Krishna Balaram. He tells everything. Normally he's not supposed to say, if you are faithful to Kamsa, you will not have said those things. But he said, but then said, because you are the Supreme Lord, who can harm you, and your relatives are also suffering there, therefore it's time for you to come and take care. And Lord Krishna Balaram, of course, they decide to leave Vrindavan and go to Mathura. And on the way, Krishna exhibits his form, spiritual form of Narayana and all those things to Akrura. Then he, after seeing that form of Narayana in Vaikuntha, Krishna's form that is described in the previous chapter, then he speaks about, then he offers prayers to Krishna, describing various worship method. And concluding that actually worshipping Krishna is the best and the supreme. Although he saw the Narayan form and all those things. But he was saying, you, Krishna, actually should be worshipped only. And in this chapter, it's very nicely explained by Srila Vishnu Chakrapad. I'll just, most of the purports given by Srila Prabhupada's disciples are based on this Srila Chakravarti Thakurpal's commentaries. I was just saying side by side. And they are given very briefly. But when you read directly the purports by Chakravarti Thakurpal, it makes a very nice sense of all the prayers. Normally prayers are little monotonous, and you know, you are the creator and you are like this, you are like that, all kind of glorifications. We don't release, not we, I'm speaking about myself, we miss the point, and the love that is expressed through the prayers, we missed it somehow because I don't have that love while reading. Therefore, we read them, but we missed it. But the commentaries actually helps us to appreciate the prayers very nicely. So I'll just go through these verses so far, whatever it is done. It's very nice. And as I read, I request all of you to kindly hear attentively, because I can't memorize all of these nice purports. I'll try to explain through the books. So in the beginning he said, I bow down to you, the cause of all causes, the original and inexhaustible Supreme Person Narayan, because he saw the Narayan form. From the whole of the lotus born from your navel, Brahma appeared. And by his agency, the universe has come into existence. So, it is very important to acknowledge Krishna as the Supreme Creator. If we don't acknowledge that, then, there is tendency of sahajism and all this concept can come. You can take Krishna very cheaply. Understand that Krishna is the Supreme Creator is very important. Therefore, you see, in our main headquarter temple, Prabhupada wanted TOVP, the Mayapur is going on. He wants the entire creation to be demonstrated there, how Krishna is the Creator in that temple. So every bona fide devotee's, pure devotee's prayers will always include how Krishna is Creator. Consistently it happens. It occurs again and again. So Akura is praying to Krishna that so many people worship in so many different ways, but they are actually worshipping you. So when he says like that, then Krishna is hearing them. Krishna is, Krishna Balaram, small little kids, 11, 12 years old, very beautiful, Kaushalya from form. And he is saying they are actually worshipping you. So Krishna in a very, Vishnu Chakra Thakur Pad in a very nice way puts that Krishna is asking, wondering, why are you saying worshiping? They are worshiping all these demigods. Why are you saying you are worshiping me? So Krishna is asking and Arjuna is answering. So he put these commentaries in that particular format. But he is speaking one prayer, then Krishna is wondering, why is saying like this? Then Arjuna is presenting the next verse. It's like that. So Akura explains that how this entire, Bhumi, Rapanalo, Vayu, everything is emanating from Krishna. The senses, the sense objects, the total Mahatattva is all emanating from Krishna. And then he says, the total material nature and these other elements of creation certainly cannot know you. He's saying all this creation cannot know you because for they are manifested in the realm of dull matter. And since you are beyond the modes of nature, even Lord Brahma, who is bound up in these modes, does not know your true identity. So there comes, he says how, because we have all fallen into this material realm with different coverings, layers of coverings, and we are actually trying to worship somebody. That search is on. People are worshipping here and there and there in so many places, but they miss Krishna. Why? Because he is beyond. In case of Lord Shiva, it is actually easier, like the purport says, Tvam Eva, that you only are that Shiva. But then Chakravarti Thakur Pad explains that it is like saying the prince is also king. When you say the prince is also king, that means prince is a little inferior. Therefore the worshipping process of Lord Shiva is inferior. It is explained like that. But Lord Shiva is actually expansion of Hari that we have read in the Brahma Samhita also. Shiram yatha dadhibikara vishesha yogat. That how milk and yogurt are non-different, but milk coming in contact with some culture, some kind of contamination basically, turns into yogurt. But yogurt is essentially milk, but milk is not yogurt. Milk can be yogurt, yogurt cannot be milk. So all these concepts are there. And that is how Sambhutattva is explained. Lord Shiva is essentially Krishna or Hari. But because he voluntarily touches the material nature, therefore he has assumed this form of Shiva or Sambhu. But basically is Hari within this realm. So even worshipping him is possibility because he is part of the creation. Therefore, but worshipping Krishna is very difficult because he is beyond these modes completely. So, anyone, nobody can know you, therefore how can they worship? Socrates says, the material ingredients of the creation are generated from you, but they do not know you as the super soul because they are covered by matter. Then Krishna replies, he says, even if you accept that material things cannot know me, the conscious living entities will be able to know me. Krishna is kind of challenging Akura. Akura says, no, even the living entities, including Lord Brahma, they are deluded because of they are in the under the cover of modes of material nature. Then he says, the pure yogis worship you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by conceiving you in the threefold form of comprising living entities. Then he speaks about the yogis, Sankhya, and the Sankhya yogis and the Ashtanga yogis. They are actually kind of connected. The Sankhya philosophers, they try to understand what is matter and what is not matter. They try to separate. And the yogis, on that basis, they do all the pranayama so that they can realize super soul. And other than them are the karmakandis, those who do sacrifices. So, Akura is saying, combining all this, he says, the Sankhya yogis are the yogis who worship the super soul. Or even the karmakandis, they are called the baitanikas, karma yogis, are all indeed worshipping you. He says, then Krishna says, but they perform sacrifices to Indra, Varuna, Vayu and other demigods, not to me. So these brahmanas who worship, karmakanda brahmanas who worship through the Vedas, they worship all these demigods. So he is saying they are worshipping you. So actually if you see kind of Akura's love for Krishna, he is seeing in every worship Krishna only. But the people who are worshipping, they don't see it. So sometimes, we'll discuss that a little bit, but let's go. So Krishna says, but they are performing sacrifices to Indra, Varuna, Vayu and other demigods, not to me. Why are you saying they are worshipping me? And Akura says, they are actually offering sacrifices to you by the names of various demigods, like Vajrahastha, Indra. The idea behind this is as follows. In the prayers which glorify Indra, Varuna and other demigods, these demigods are shown to have supreme power. But there cannot be many supreme controllers, therefore it is you alone who are being worshipped by various names. When it is worshipped, when they offer worship to Indra, they say you are the supreme. When they offer worship to Varuna, they say you are the supreme. Like that they go on. There are going to be many supreme. Therefore, he says, you are actually the supreme, and they are addressing you through these names. There is one supreme, but when they say Vajrahastha, Indra, you are the supreme, but Indra is not supreme. Supreme is Krishna. Through him, they are addressing you. Different names they are quoting. I hope you are getting this point. Very clear that there are many names, and every name is addressed as supreme, but there cannot be many supreme. There is only one supreme. So these personalities are the means through which you are only addressed. That's how Vishnu Chakra Thakur Pada is explaining. And then he says that how in the pursuit of spiritual knowledge, some persons renounce all material activities and having thus become peaceful, perform the sacrifice of philosophic investigation to worship you, again he says. They give up all materialistic activities so that they can settle and philosophically understand your greatness. These are jnanis. And it is explained that the jnanis are better than the karmis because they have given up all kind of contaminations. And because they have given contamination, therefore they are ready to enter into philosophical, indulge themselves into philosophical analysis of the Supreme, and they worship. Then Krishna says, So Akura prayed, through samadhi, jnana, yajna, they worship yajanti, you as the original form of knowledge. then this verse defects the path of then the Vaishnavas also, they worship various incarnations of the Lord. But even they somehow miss Krishna. That is the point. Therefore he says, those whose intelligence is pure implies that worshippers have mentioned before have not completely been purified till the Jnani Yogis. But the Vaishnavas are purified intelligence. Therefore they worship different manifestations of the Lord. According to following Pancharatra. Sakura says, by revealing yourself to them both internally and externally, they worship you as both having many forms and having only one form. Then it is explained in various Upanishads how Krishna is actually the source of all different forms of incarnations. So then it is explained about how people also worship Lord Shiva. Then he concludes by saying, but all these people, my Lord, even those who have turned their attention away from you and are worshipping other deities, are actually worshipping you alone, O embodiment of the demigods. Then Krishna is asking, how is this? Of course, this is because you comprise all the demigods. You also, because you are the supreme controller. And you are the incarnations of all, you come as incarnations. Krishna says, but when asked, all these demigod worshippers especially, but when they asked, they will say that they are worshipping Shiva, Surya, Ganesh and so on. They will not say they are worshipping Krishna. Then how can you say they are worshipping me? Then Akura says, those who worship the demigods indirectly worship you as the super soul in all the demigods. Because Krishna is there in the super soul. In everybody's heart, including the demigods. It is because of his empowerment and direction they are able to do whatever they are doing. So when the worship comes, it is Krishna who accepts them. Then Krishna says, but if that is so, then how am I being worshipped? They are saying Indra, Varuna, Chandra, you are saying the super soul, but how that justifies that I am worshipped? They never for even a moment turn their remembrance towards me. They are absorbed in Ganesh and Shiva and all these things, all these personalities. They are never thinking of me. How can you say they are worshipping me? Of course, though they meditate on the demigods, not you, they are still worshipping you. He is like little emphatic. You are the Paramatma. You may not accept it. They may not accept it, but they are actually worshipping you. Then Akura quotes, then Krishna again asks, but if they are worshipping me, then they should achieve me. The result should be that if you are saying, okay, they are worshipping me, although they are worshipping demigods, they don't think of me, still they are worshipping me. So therefore they will achieve me. Then Krishna says, Akura says, no, they will not achieve you. He says, no, it is not like this. Try to understand. The worship goes to you, but those worshippers do not attain you. Why? Because you have stated yourself in Bhagavad Gita. Yepi anya devata bhakta yajante sardhavanvita tepi maam eva konteya yajanti avidipurvakam. This 9th chapter Gita. Yepi anya devata bhakta, anya devata bhakta yajanti sardhayanvita. They are worshipping with full faith in that particular form. Tepi maam eva konteya, but they only worship me. So sometimes the impersonalists, they don't emphasize on the Chaitanya Prabhu was telling me yesterday. He was saying, they don't emphasize on avidhi purvakam. Tepi maam eva konteya bhajanti avidhi purvakam. Yajanti avidhi purvakam. They say, tepi maam eva konteya. They worship me also. Therefore, don't need to worship Krishna. They go like that. Regarding the point, the danger, the niche, they say, na? The point missing here is, Krishna says, they're actually worshipping me, so what do they need to worship Krishna? So they focus more on Shiva. And they miss Krishna in the end. So he says, you only say this. Then he says, Ahami sarva yajnanam bhokta cha prabhu reva cha. Krishna said this in Gita, that I am the bhokta, the worship actually comes to me. And you also say, Yanti Deva Prata Devan, Pitri Yanti Pitri Devata. Those who worship Devata, they go to Devata. Those who worship Pitri, they go to Pitri Loka. Those who worship me, they come to me. So then he says, Akura says, I am also saying the same thing with an example. This verse is going to come in future, next two verses. The example I'll just tell briefly. Example is that this ocean is like, say, Krishna. And the clouds, they come from Krishna. So the various process of worship, which is Veda, is basically the cloud. And they shower that rains of water on the mountains. Then mountains, different mountains can take different rivers emanates from different mountains, the different process of worships. Now these worships ultimately, these rivers ultimately reach the ocean back to Krishna. But the mountains, which are the source of the rivers, they don't reach this ocean. They stay where they are. If the rivers reaches, so this, similarly the worships reach you, Krishna, but because they have faith in the demigods, they only reach up to the demigods. They don't reach me. They don't reach you. In this way, there is a very nice conversation that goes on. I am also saying the same thing with an example. The raging rivers, which are born from the mountains, are formed from the water raining upon the mountains from the clouds. And clouds come from ocean. They are like the Vedas, which describes various worship methods. So, you are the super soul within them, and the shelter of the demigods. The worship of them goes to you. Worship of them is worship of you, but they don't achieve you. So then Krishna goes on asking, will these people ever achieve? Does the demigod have the ability to give Krishna to them? Or can they give me to them, his worshippers? Then Akura says, no, because they themselves are covered by the Maya, they don't know you. How can they deliver you to them? So in this way, this conversation goes on. But in the whole process of these prayers, it turns out that how worship of Lord Krishna is very rare and very difficult to see and find. Because everybody else, all of us are actually entangled in this material world. And although we are trying to worship somebody, that urge is there, urge to worship is there. So people try at various places. And through Paramatma, it reaches Krishna and they progress gradually. But worshipping Krishna is very rare. It is explained that how, therefore only through devotees, only pure devotees can actually show us the path to worship Krishna. Even we see that, like, we were part of Indian culture. So many temples we used to visit Shiva's temple, Krishna's temple, Ram's temple. But that purity and that goal, that understanding, that motivation to serve Krishna and love Krishna is nowhere to be found previously. All that is very much described in pages of Ramayana and Mahabharata, and all the places are there. But to catch it is very difficult. So we visited so many temples, so many places, worshipped also. But the way, the path to worship Krishna in a pure, divine, transcendental way is revealed only by pure devotees. So therefore, it is explained how Shripad Madhavendrapuri is actually the first one to bring that real worship of Krishna unto this. Of course, Shripad Madhavacharya, Ramanacharya, they are the one who kind of elaborated on the transcendental worship of Krishna and Vaikuntha Pati Vishnu. But that greatest love ecstasy that we can gradually learn is brought by Shripada Madhavendrapuri. So therefore, on the one hand, we have to explain all these topics of inferior and superior, like Shiva worship is described how it is inferior. But while speaking these things, we have to take a note and care that we should not offend Lord Shiva and we should not offend their worshippers. It is explained that how Lord Shiva is not different from Hari. Like in Guru Vastaka also we sing how Guru is not different from Hari, Sakshad Hari. Why? Because they are very dear. Guru is very dear to Krishna. It's so dear that we cannot separate him. We can say him as good as Hari. So therefore, we cannot afford to offend Guru. Similarly, we cannot afford to offend Lord Shiva. At the same time, we have to explain this worship of, we have to glorify the worship of Krishna in a way that the acharyas explain. It's very difficult, but at the same time, we should not miss that point of offense. So Lord Shiva is, in that sense, Krishna and Shiva, Lord Shiva is very dear to Krishna. Right? And very dear to Krishna means there is no problem between Krishna and Shiva. They really love each other. And there is no difference there. But the problem is, there is a fight between the followers of Shiva and Vishnu. That means the problem is not with their positions or their worship, whatever. Problem is the egos of the followers. They say it is because my God is Shiva, therefore he is superior. My. Or the Vaishnava says because my God is supreme, Krishna is therefore our God is superior. If that concept is there, then there will be fighting. If that ego concept is not there, then there won't be any problem in accepting each other. But unfortunately, whatever our observation is that these followers of Lord Shiva, because these verses, how nicely explains, because we are under the cover of the modes, and they really can't give up Lord Shiva's worship because they want that impersonal liberation. So Lord Shiva, what's that? He's in Kaivalya, what is that term? Kaivalya is Pradayate. He rewards that. He has, because he is, I'm looking a little bit beyond my realizations, but understanding is that because he is also, he is, Sadashiva is also part of spiritual world, he is there. It is said one third, his realm, his loka is one third in spiritual and three fourth in, one fourth in spiritual, three fourth in material world. Comes in between. It's like overlapping both the areas, Lord Shiva's region. So some of the people, they go there. They get that liberation. They get that status. But they can't give up till they come in touch with some pure devotees in their path. I hope I didn't create any problems, any confusions. But this is what my little bit of study trying to explain. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. If there are any questions, we have 5 minutes. If there are any questions, we'll try to answer. Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki.